in a hurry to get to an appointment, and he illegally parked his car. He left a note under the windshield wiper of his auto, and he said, "So sorry, I've circled the block for 20 minutes, and I'm late for an appointment, and if I don't park here, I'll lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses." When the driver of the car came back, he was shocked when he found a parking ticket on his windshield with the following note: "I've circled this block for 20 years as a police officer. If I don't give you a ticket, I will lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." We're going to talk about temptation today. Winning the battle of temptation. Temptation is something we all face. If you're a human being, I hope all of you are, we face temptation. Even Jesus faced temptation. And we're going to look at the story in the scripture where he faced the temptation and where he conquered the temptation. It's in Luke chapter 4, and we'll read that scripture, and then we will see what we can learn from this story of Jesus. Stand as we read God's word, Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it'll all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will guard you, lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot on against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray that you'll speak to us today through your word. And we're going to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus had just been baptized by John at the Jordan River. And he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert where he's going to spend 40 days. So one of my questions is, why did he do this? Why did he go into the desert for 40 days? And I think he's just preparing for the ministry that he's launching. These 40 days are time to pray and fast and get to know his Heavenly Father better, talk to God, and get ready and prepared for this new ministry he is launching. But the devil uses an opportunity to tempt him. You notice it says that he was there 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. We have three temptations recorded for us, but there's 40 days of temptation here. And in the example of Jesus, because he won the battle of temptation, the only person to ever consistently win the battle of temptation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help us, and we can learn from his example about temptation. Now, even before we begin, we need to acknowledge that to be tempted isn't a sin. Have you ever felt guilty that you're tempted? I have. I've thought, you know, if those people at Bethel knew my temptation, they would just kick me right out of there. But you know, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. All of us are tempted. It's a sin to give in to the temptation. Okay? We need to make sure we establish that. So we're going to ask some questions here today about temptation. First, what's the nature of temptation? In temptation, Satan tries to lure us away from trusting God. That's really the foundational fact behind temptation. He's trying to get us to not trust God, to do it another way in which God says we should do it, to go around God, to ignore God, to disobey God, to not trust him, to act independently of God. And that's what Jesus is tempted to do in this story, to act independently of his Heavenly Father. We see it in the very first temptation in the Bible when the serpent, the devil, came to Eve in the garden and began to tempt her. He said these words, says the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, there's several things wrong with this. First, you see, the devil is lying. God never said that anyway. He just said you couldn't eat from one of the trees, not any tree. Devil's twisting things, but he's introducing doubt in the heart of this woman. What he's really saying is, can you really trust God? Can you really trust him? You know, I don't think you can trust him. And so she's led to disobey God. So the nature of temptation is to lure us away from trusting God. Satan also mixes truth with error to try to deceive us. He's tricky. In the temptations of Jesus, oftentimes he uses scripture. Isn't it frightening to think that Satan knows scripture? He knows it. He uses it, but he uses it wrongly. He uses it wrongly, or he'll twist it, he'll leave something out. He'll mix some truth with some error because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. Jesus said this. He said, but you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, when we're tempted, we need to remember that scripture right there. Satan is a liar. So that means the temptation is a lie, right? He twists the truth. If you study the false religions in our world, you'll find a little bit of truth there. You will. You'll find little parts that are true, mixed with a bunch of lies. That's the way Satan works. Tries to deceive us by mixing a little truth with what is false. Satan promises pleasure while not mentioning the inevitable pain. Promises pleasure while not mentioning the inevitable pain. There are consequences for sin, and the devil never mentions those. The scripture says in Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The man who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The devil will not tell you about the destruction part. He just promises all these wonderful things. He forgets the destruction part. Several hundred years ago on the island of Cape Hatteras off the shore of North Carolina, there were men whose business it was to get ships to run aground on the shoals off the island. These men were wreckers who made their living after gathering up the parts and the cargo of the ships after they crashed. They would go out at night with a lighted lantern fastened to the head of an old nag or a horse. These men were from Nag's Head, which was the name of their village. They would walk up and down, back and forth the shore, and out in the sea, in the darkness of the mid-Atlantic night, ships searching for a passage past the island would mistake the bobbing lights for the stern light of a ship they supposed had found safe passage. And so they'd head inland toward the light, and they would crash on the shoals, and the ships would break up. And the wreckers would come out in the morning to collect timbers to build their houses and utensils for their kitchens and money and possessions, whatever was in the ships, they would collect it. It was a thriving business. So much so that if you were to visit Nag's Head today, you can find houses still there that were furnished with material taken from the more than 300 ships that crashed on that coast right there off the island. It's a picture of Satan's schemes to destroy the lives of people. He deceives us. He shows us something that looks good. We think it's the right way to go. It looks good. It might sound good. It might feel good. But he forgets to tell you that you're going to crash on the shore up there. There's destruction ahead. He's a deceiver. So, next question about temptation. When might temptation come? And we know temptation can come at any time. But using the example of Jesus, we're just going to look at some particular times when you can expect temptation, because it happened to Jesus. One time it happens is after a spiritual victory. That might sound strange, but it's true. Jesus, for instance, had just come from his baptism. It was an amazing time. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Heaven was opened up, and God, his Father, spoke to him from heaven and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him." And the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and landed on Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a mountaintop experience, right? And from there, he heads out to the Judean wilderness. Now, I want to tell you something about the Judean wilderness. It's a wilderness. You see the pictures. It is just a desolate wilderness where Jesus wandered around for those 40 days. Quite a contrast. It's here in the wilderness that the temptation came. Right after that spiritual high, when he was so pumped up and so excited, filled with the Holy Spirit, and here come the temptations. And I know what happens to us too. You need to be careful. You need to be aware. I experience as a pastor, when things go, we just have a great Sunday and God's presence is with us and God has blessed and good things have happened and I hear good reports of what God has done in people's lives. I go home pumped and excited, but I need to be ready for the temptations to come. And you need to be ready too when you're, because God doesn't, the devil doesn't want you to be excited about Jesus. He doesn't want you to be on fire for God. And so he's going to attack. He's going to nip away and try to attack. Try to bring you back to that more comfortable lukewarmness where he wants you to be. So we should expect temptation after spiritual victories. Another time you can expect it is when you're worn out. Jesus was worn out when these attacks came. He had spent these 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying, which means he wasn't eating. He's tired. He's hungry. It can't be too comfortable sleeping on those rocks. I mean, it's a tough time, and he is wore out. And that is a key time when Satan, who's very opportunistic, can come in and tempt us. When we're physically tired, when we're emotionally tired, when we're mentally tired, just be on your guard. It's a prime time for the devil to tempt. Another time is when we're alone. Jesus was alone in the wilderness. We are susceptible, more susceptible to temptation when we're alone. It's like, you know, you've seen the way wolf packs work. We have those lovely animals in our northwest area, and they attack animals, but they never attack the group of animals. They attack the stragglers, the ones that are alone, the ones that are lagging behind, that aren't with the group. And the devil's like that. He looks for targets that he can attack, maybe people who have kind of withdrawn from the fellowship of other believers. They're not living in good relationships with other Christians. They're trying to live like a Lone Ranger kind of Christianity. They're more susceptible. We really do need each other. Jesus was alone for a good reason. He was praying to his heavenly Father, but he still was attacked because he was alone. Have you ever been praying and been tempted at the exact moment when you're praying? You know, it happens. Because the devil doesn't want you to pray. So he'll try to distract you. He'll probably think about something. It's a battle sometimes to keep focused when you're praying, because the devil's going to try to come in when you're alone. Even when you're doing a good thing of being alone with God, he can tempt. So be aware of that. What kind of temptations might we face? And there are so many kind of temptations. We could go through, we could spend all day long doing that. And but we're just going to look at the three that Jesus encountered here as some examples. He was tempted, it says, over those 40 days. So these three are just three. He was tempted in a lot of different ways over those 40 days. But the first temptation Jesus encountered was a temptation to distrust God's love. Now, the first one here is about physical needs. Jesus is hungry. He's been fasting 40 days, which medical science tells us that's about the limit of how long you could fast. And so he needs food. He's depleted. He needs food. It's critical right now. And the devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, one of the things that the Judean wilderness has is a lot of stones. They're everywhere. There's no shortage of rocks in Israel. There's none. I have taken a few home, and they're in my office, so there's a little less than there was. But there's still a lot over there. Tell one of these rocks to become bread. Now, the devil said, if you're the Son of God. Now, the devil knew who Jesus was. Jesus knows who he is. So the devil really isn't saying, you know, prove it. He's saying, since you are the Son of God, go ahead, do it. Don't trust your Heavenly Father. You take it into your own hands. You see, when Jesus came to earth, he set aside his independent use of his divine powers, and he only did what God the Father told him to do through the leading of the Holy Spirit. The devil is trying to get Jesus to go around the Father, to doubt God's love, that God will take care of him, take control for himself. And Jesus rejected this temptation. He said, it's written, man does not live on bread alone. That's from Deuteronomy 8:3, which is a story where the people of Israel complained to God that they didn't have food and God gave them food from heaven. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, I will not complain and I will not take things into my own hands. I will trust my Heavenly Father. Now, when you read Matthew's gospel, he tells the same story in Matthew's gospel. He adds something that Luke doesn't put in there. Matthew says, after this temptation, the angel showed up and ministered to Jesus. I love that part. And that doesn't say exactly what they did, but I just have a hunch they brought lunch. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus resisted the temptation to turn that rock into bread, and so the angels swoop down and give him the lunch that he needs. God is faithful. He can be trusted. When we're tempted to doubt God's love, when things might be not going well in our lives, I've heard people say this, God must not love me. It's not true. You need to trust God. Don't distrust his love. Trust him and his love for you. That's what Jesus did. Second temptation of Jesus was to distrust God's plan. The devil took Jesus to a high place somewhere miraculously. He could see all the kingdoms of the world. And he told Jesus he had authority over them and he could give them to him if he would just worship him. Now, the devil does have some limited temporary authority over this world that is in rebellion against God. So he could give some of that authority away to others. But he's being deceptive here. He's offering Jesus an alternative plan, a way to skip the cross and get glory, but it would not be a glory that would last. You see, the plan was that through the cross, first, Jesus would be glorified, high and lifted up. He'll receive all the kingdoms of the world. But the devil wants to reverse the order and do the glory first, but then comes the suffering. Jesus is going to suffer first and then go into the glory that God has promised him. So it's a plan. It's an idea from the devil to try to distrust God's plan. An easier way to be king. Let's skip the suffering. Let's just go right to the king. But it's a false kingdom. Jesus rejected this temptation by quoting the scripture, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus would not stop trusting in the plan of God. We're tempted to do that sometimes, aren't we? Take shortcuts, not trust God and go around the plan. You know, Abraham did that, didn't he? He was given that promise by God to he would have a son, and the son would give him many descendants, and he waited and he waited and he waited, and he got impatient. He, instead of trusting God, took things into his own hands, had a child by his slave girl, Hagar, and the whole world's still reaping the results of that disastrous decision. The temptation is to trust God's plan, but we need to trust God and his plan. The third temptation that Jesus encountered here was to promote it yourself. The devil led him up to the highest point of the temple. A lot of people think it was on the edge of the Temple Mount. There's, you know, a lot of people think it's this corner there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And then it would have even been even taller because of all the buildings they had built and the colonnades and things around. It would be a huge place, and it would be pretty hard to fall off of that and live. So the devil is saying, if you're the Son of God, just throw yourself off, and, you know, the angels will protect you. God's word says they will, and they'll know, promote yourself. Make a big show. Temptation. Jesus rejected this temptation by quoting the scripture from Deuteronomy 6, where it says, for the people not to test God. Each time Jesus was tempted, he was successful in resisting the temptation. That's important. It's important because the temptation of Jesus over his temptation to be victorious over temptation is critical to his mission, which is to be the sin sacrifice for the sins of the world. To be the sacrifice for our sins, he had to be sinless. The sacrifice had to be perfect, blameless, complete, right? So if Jesus had failed at this moment in the desert, he would have been disqualified for being our Savior. But because he did not give in to this temptation or any of the temptations in his life, he became the perfect, complete, final sacrifice for the sins of the world. Praise his name. We can be thankful for that. Jesus lived a life without sin so that he could be the sacrifice for our sin. And he was, and he is. Praise his name for that. So let's look at the practical things here. How can we defeat temptation? And in case you think you can't, I would just tell you wrong. You can defeat temptation. The Bible says there's always a way out. No temptation has seized us except what's common to man. There's always a way out. The devil cannot make you give in to the temptation. He can tempt you, but he can't make you give in. You can resist temptation. I think some people have worked themselves into a corner and they think there's just nothing I can do. You know, I'm just going to, you can give in to temptation. I need an amen right there. You guys kind of went into a little bit of a zone there. Let's talk about it real quickly here. What can we do? We should expect to be tempted, number one. Expect it. Expect to be tempted. You know, the nation of Israel is an amazing nation over there in the Middle East, and they're just a little tiny country surrounded by all these countries that hate them. They are so good at defending themselves. It's amazing when you see the news reports of what they do to defend themselves. And you know the reason they're so good at it? They expect to be attacked. They're ready. They're expecting it. We need to expect temptation. Sometimes we get overconfident and think, I got this. No. Be ready. We should expect to be tempted. The Bible says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, we don't have to be paranoid about it, but just be realistic and know, you know, temptation's going to come. And again, it's not your fault if you're tempted, but just be ready for it. We need to put on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Second thing we can do is spend time with God in prayer. That's what Jesus was doing. He was praying and fasting in the desert, spending time with his Heavenly Father. It helped him defeat the temptation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German pastor, said, Satan does not fill us with hatred for God, but with forgetfulness of God. It's easy to kind of drift away and not talk to God and spend time with him. And then we're more susceptible to temptation. We need to remember him and his love for us. A lot of the people that I've talked to in life who have come in and shown me their sad stories of them giving into temptation, their life had just crashed and burned, would say that they stopped reading their Bible, stopped praying, stopped going to church. They just kind of drifted away from God, and then boom, they were susceptible to temptation. We need to spend time with God in prayer. That helps us. We also need to remember God's love for us. Many of the temptations are temptations for us to do things on our own and not trust that God really loves us, that God will really take care of us, that God sees us, that God will help us. We need to trust that God really does love us so that we won't give into that temptation because we trust in God's love for us. We should also be armed with the truth of God's word. Do you notice that every time Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written." He used the word of God, but he used it correctly. And you know what? Since the devil's a liar, he can't stand up the truth of God's word. When the God's word is said, there's no debate from the devil. He can't stand against the truth. The truth exposes him as the liar of liars. So we need to use the word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, when Jesus was hiking through the wilderness on that time, he didn't have a backpack full of Old Testament scrolls with him. He knew the word. He knew the word. We need to know the word. I mean, you don't have to memorize it all, but let's memorize some of it that'll help us in times of temptation. So when you're tempted, you can say, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Or, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble." Get some scriptures into your mind so that you can use them when you're tempted, because it is powerful to defeat temptation, the truth of God's word. We should also be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was, filled with the Holy Spirit. Even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're still tempted, because Jesus was. But the Holy Spirit will help us in temptation. He won't do it for you. He won't make you resist. You know, sometimes people pray, "Lord, help me to resist this." You know, you got to resist. He'll help you once you resist. He will. Holy Spirit will help you, but he's not going to do it for you. The Bible says that we're not tempted beyond that which we can bear. We have the willpower, God-given willpower, to say no. And the moment you do, Holy Spirit helps you. He'll enable you and help you. The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Holy Spirit will help. It's like Holy Spirit comes in and says, "Get out of here." And he's gone. We should also rely upon help from the Savior. You see, we have the same resources Jesus had when he was tempted, but we have one more. We have Jesus. We have Jesus to help us. The only person who ever lived on this planet that took everything the devil could throw at him and never gave in to help us in our temptation. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Pastor F.B. Meyer says these words, "There is only one way by which the tempter can be met. He laughs at our good resolutions and ridicules our pledges with which we fortify ourselves. Satan fears only one. He who in the power of greatest weakness defeated him and now has been raised far above all principalities and powers to deliver frail and tempted souls. Christ conquered the prince of this world in the days of his flesh, and is prepared to do as much again for each of us who will seek his aid." That's good news. We can win the battle with temptation. Jesus did it completely, and he'll help us. I know this is a very practical kind of sermon, and I'm sure that you won't have any trouble practicing it, because the devil will tempt us. But let's win the battle of temptation. We're going to sing a song together and have a time of prayer. If there's anything that you need to come and pray about, you can do that. Come and bring it to the Lord. He is willing to help us. If you've given in to temptation, and that's called sin, you need to bring that to Jesus and confess it and receive his forgiveness. Maybe there's some here who have been tempted, and you just need to come and call on the Lord and say, Lord, I choose you. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to give to the end of this. Claim some victory. Claim some ground for Christ here. God will help us. Let's stand together. Let's sing this great song. And if you need to pray, come and we'll pray together this morning.
What a friend we have in Jesus.